Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great to see you tonight. You're looking good. Looking good. Amen. The last time I spoke, if you remember, a couple Tuesday nights ago, I was talking about Peter, you know, in the just him getting out of the boat and walking toward the Lord. And since then, the Lord has spoken one or two more things on that topic to me. And I'd like to share with you what the Lord has spoken over that amount of time. I shared it with a handful of our friends on Friday night at our teaching series, and I just want to share a variation of it with you tonight. The message is entitled, Five Steps in the Right Direction. And what I want to suggest is that Peter had to take, as it were, five steps in order to get from where he was to where Jesus was. Now, the steps that he had to take were very dangerous steps, and he was moving into a very dangerous place. And the only motivation that he had going from where he was to where he was going to be was the fact that Jesus was there. Give you an idea of what I mean. Up until that point, if you look in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, what you're going to find is that Jesus was using Peter and the disciples in wonderful ways. And one of the things that he did with them was that he used them to feed other people, miraculously so that there was no way that they could, of their own account, calculate how to feed these people or by what means they might be used of the Lord in general. Jesus took them, took some bread, some fish, gave it to them, and all of a sudden, they're being used of the Lord, and they're feeding a multitude. From that point, the Lord sends them on the boat so that he could send the multitudes away. As they begin to move from one side of the sea to the other, there is this storm. And it's a storm of what I would consider supernatural proportions. And at a certain point, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. And Peter recognizes, at first they think it's a spirit, they think it's a ghost. And then Jesus says, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And then Peter asks a question. Basically, if it's you, bid me come upon the waters with you. And Jesus spoke only one word, come. Now, for me, that's an awesome consideration. This was a person who was in, up until that point, a good place, and up until that point, a safe place. A good place being he was being used of the Lord in wonderful ways to feed God's people. A safe place is he was on the boat. It was relatively safe, especially when you compare it to what he was being asked to do when Jesus said, come. My suggestion to you tonight is for Peter, there was only one place to be on the face of the planet. And that was wherever Jesus was. And so if Jesus was in a safe place, that's where Peter would have been. If Jesus was in a dangerous place, that's where Peter would have been. And basically, Peter had to realize that at that particular point in his life, Jesus was inviting him to enter into a very dangerous place, to go from a good place to a dangerous place, from a safe place to a dangerous place. And the only motivation that Peter had was the fact that that's where Jesus was. Now, oftentimes in our lives, the Lord will use us in various ways, ways to feed God's people, to strengthen God's people, to encourage God's people. And even though our life might be going through its ordinary ups and downs, we still find that we're not just in a good place, but we are also in a safe place, relatively safe place, so that there might be waves and there might be billows, but there is still the safety of the ship. But then we recognize that Jesus is not on the ship. He's out in the water. And he is calling us from a good place or from a safe place to a dangerous place. And the only motivation is that he is there. The only word that he gave was come. You know, he didn't say, if you come out, I will calm the waters. Or if you come out, then I will make you into this kind of a man or that kind of a man based upon your step of faith or whatever the case might be. He simply said, come. And for Peter, the only thing that moved him from those places of goodness and contentment and safety was the fact that Jesus was out there. Now, that's important for us to grasp, because if we don't grasp the fact that Jesus is usually to be found in a dangerous place, we will never get off the boat. We will never take the steps to get to him. Unfortunately, in our generation, we have been taught, we have been told that Jesus is always in a safe place, that he's always in a good place. But from what I've seen in the Holy Scriptures, and from what I've seen to some limited degree in my ministry and in life, is that oftentimes Jesus is in a very dangerous place. He's in the place where there is the most need. He's in the place where very few people want to go. He's in the place where if he doesn't go there, if he doesn't move in that direction, then there is absolutely no hope in that place or in that direction, and there is absolutely no hope that we will ever go to the need. And so for me, it's been my experience, the limited experience that I've had in ministry, is that sometimes the Lord will call me into places of danger, places where there is a need, places of prayer sometimes, and places where you physically go sometimes to speak to people in one community or another community. And the thing ultimately that motivates me to go, because if I were to look at it from a natural perspective, I would say there is no hope there. There is no help there. There is no way that this thing can be turned or changed. And then I hear the voice of Jesus. And he simply says, but I'm here. Don't look at the circumstance. He begins to call you to fast and to pray for one of your sons or one of your daughters who seems so far gone. And every time you try to go out to them, your heart breaks a little bit. Every time you try to reach out to them, your heart breaks a little bit. And it's a very dangerous place. And if you want, you could say, the Lord is still using me to feed his people. He's still using me to help his people. He's still using me to make a difference in the world. And yeah, my life might have some ups and downs, but I'm still in a relatively safe place. I don't want to go out there, because out there, there is danger. Out there, there is pain. Out there, there is the hurt of many, many years of experiencing letdowns and disappointments. But Jesus is out there. And because Jesus is out there, then we have to take some steps. Now, remember, the situation with Peter was that he had to take a few steps. The first thing that he had to do was he had to step up. Remember, there are many people in the boat with him. And at any time, any one of them could have said, Jesus, I want to be where you are, even if you're in a place of danger. But Peter took it upon himself to step up. If you search the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, and you look for any time there was a serious, significant move of God, any time there was anything that remotely resembles revival, there has always been someone, some man, some woman, who decided to step up. And they decided to step up because somehow they realized that wherever Jesus is, it is worth going. If he's in a place of danger, then that's where we go. This church was founded by a man who made a decision many, many years ago to step up when most people found the place that he decided to go to be too dangerous. Many of you read the story of the cross and the switchblade, and you realize the kind of situation that David Wilkerson chose to move into. Very dangerous situation. Very dangerous for him as a person. Very dangerous for his reputation. Very dangerous because he chose to stand up for some people who had been cast out of society. People had made some horrible decisions, of course. People who had done some horrible things, of course. But people who were still beloved of God and who still at least deserve to hear the gospel message, at least deserve to know that there was a God who loved them, that there was a Jesus who died for them. And so he chose to step up. Anybody could have done it, but somebody's got to do it. At some point, we realize that Jesus is standing in a dangerous place and that he's calling us from our place of safety or our place of doing good into a place of danger and doing that thing that God happens to be doing at that time. It has never happened in history that there has been a move of God of any significance where no one stood in the gap. There must be someone at some time who decides to step up just because Jesus is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next thing is he had to step out. He had to step out of the boat. It's one thing to step up and begin to say, Lord, if it's you. Another thing to actually begin to take the step where you are stepping out of your comfort zone. You're stepping out of your safety net. You're stepping out of what you know to be relatively safe, even if that place happens to be rocking and reeling. We go through our ordinary difficulties in life. Everybody who's a Christian is going to suffer persecution. That's normal. But there comes a time where there is an abnormal danger that God is calling us to. There comes a time where God is asking us to care on a level that can be dangerous to us emotionally or psychologically or spiritually, and in some cases even physically. But we have to not just step up, but eventually we have to step out. Again, we see that happening with David Wilkerson. After a certain point, it was time for him to actually come out from where he was and to come to this city. It's one thing to make a decision, another thing to follow through with it. Where you say, it's not enough for me to get emotional and enthusiastic. I need to move into that place of danger. But in order for me to move into that place of danger, I have got to begin to move out of that place of safety. Now, of course, we know, ultimately speaking, there is no safer place than at the side of Jesus, no matter where he happens to be. But there are times when the Lord is saying to you and to me, remember the thing that I asked you to care about. Remember the thing that I asked you to pray about. I know that as you pray about these things, or I know that as you care about these things, or I know that as you reach out to certain people, that you have to leave certain places of comfort, certain places of relative safety. And you and I could say, but Lord, my life is difficult right now. I'm going through enough difficulty. I'm in the boat and the boat is rocking and the boat is reeling. At least I'm in the boat. You told me to get in the boat and I'm in the boat. At least I'm in the boat. But like I said, every now and again, God calls us into a deeper place of commitment, a deeper place of trust, because he happens to be there. As Pastor Carter always reminds us, that the Lord is always at the right hand of the needy, at the right hand of the impoverished, at the right hand of the need. And so sometimes we have got to move into what we've committed to. That's what Paul was saying to the Corinthian church. He said, you've committed to this, now begin to do it. And so we have to step up. Then we have to step out, sometimes physically leaving, sometimes emotionally investing, sometimes spiritually gripping what we know to be the hem of the garment of the Lord and saying, wherever you are, that's where I'm going. Whatever you're praying about, that's what I'm praying about. Whatever you're interceding about, that's what I'm interceding about. Whatever you're grieving over, that's what I'm grieving over. Whatever you see fit to fix your attention on and to focus on, that's what I'm going to focus on. Even if I have to go from the frying pan into the fire. And then after a certain time, you have to step down. Think about the boat that they were in. I'm sure it wasn't a small boat. It was probably one of those huge fishing boats. And they probably had to go down some sort of one of those rope ladders or whatever the case might be. And I'm thinking every step he's taken down off that boat, every step he's taken down off that ship, the closer he leaves, rather, the more he leaves his safety and the closer he gets to the impossible, the more he's got to reckon with his own heart and ask himself the question, am I willing to take whatever steps down in order to finally get to where Jesus is? Sometimes to get to where Jesus is, we have to step down. We usually think of stepping up, but usually the way up is down. And again, looking at Pastor Dave's life and having literally had to step down from his ministry, had to step down from his pastorate in order to reach out to the gangs in this city. Think about that. Stepping down from a nice, fine church to sleeping in his car and giving up his shoes and that kind of a thing. Stepping down from a nice country church to street corner preaching. Stepping down. Sometimes that's what we have to do. In order to meet Jesus in the dangerous places, we have to step down. Sometimes it's, you know, we have to step down from our, you know, and some people have stepped down from wonderful jobs in order to go to the mission field and so on and so forth. Sometimes it's just psychological. We have to kind of, you know, like Paul, kind of come down off of our high horse. Do you know what I mean? And become servants again. And go to places to do ministry where maybe we don't have to go, but because Jesus is there, we're compelled to go into certain areas, certain neighborhoods, certain kinds of ministries. You know what I mean? Riding with the Raven truck or going to the soup kitchens or ministering at Teen Challenge and things of that nature, those kinds of things where maybe you don't have to go, but maybe Jesus is there. And maybe he's compelling you to go. And maybe he's saying to you, sometimes in order to do that, you have to step down. Because oftentimes when we think about ministry, we think about some high thing, something with bright lights and cameras. And maybe it's not about that. Maybe it's about stepping down and going where Jesus is. And then, of course, having climbed down that ladder, now you've got to step in. At some point, you got to step in. It's a good thing to step up, good thing to step out, good thing to step down. But eventually, you got to step in. Eventually, you got to get into those waters. Right? And again, you look at, you know, the life of Dave Wilkerson, and you see him coming into this city and living in this city and interacting with the gangs and going to their houses and, you know, going to the places where they hung out. I mean, completely immersed himself in this work. Completely immersed himself. And that's the nature of ministry. I mean, if you're going to get in, you got to get in. Do you know what I mean? There is no in-between. You start praying for your husband or your wife. You start praying for your son or your daughter again. No matter how many times they broke your heart, you know it's all in. It's not easy. It's supernatural. But you don't go there because you see a lot of hope there. You don't go there because they've changed their mind about anything. You don't go there because their circumstances seem to be different. You go there because Jesus is there. You go there because the Lord is saying, I'm in a dangerous place, and I want you to come in. And so you and I have got to take the plunge. We have got to be immersed in the burden of the Lord, baptized in the heart and the mind of God, baptized into his tears, baptized into his concerns. Again, it's not about us. There's no way in the world Peter could have walked on water on his own. It's what the Lord does. He compels. Remember, Peter said, if it's you, compel me to come in. This is how you and I know whether or not the Lord is calling us to a certain kind of ministry. If he's calling us to dangerous ministry. Because he compels us to come in. There's something in us that says, woe is me if I preach not this gospel, or woe is me if I don't pray for my son, or woe is me if I don't pray for my daughter, or woe is me if I don't get involved in this ministry that's feeding the poor, that's feeding the needy, that's feeding the hungry. Woe is me if I don't do what I can to bless the needy around the world. Woe is me if I don't go into dangerous places. Woe is me if I don't follow Jesus into the heart and the mind of dangerous compassion. And so Peter stepped in. And then I would say finally, he had to step aside. When he began to sink, when it became a little bit too much, he simply said, Jesus, help me. For us, that's the nature of ministry. We get in and then we get out the way. You know what I mean? I mean, why do you think our church is what it is? Even after Pastor Dave passed on, why do you think we're still as strong as we've ever been, if not stronger? It's because it was never about him. He made sure of that. His whole ministry was based on stepping aside so that Jesus can be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's just, God calls you to a ministry. Don't think you have to handle it in your own strength. Just step aside and let Jesus be Jesus. God calls you to pray and to break your heart in his presence for needs that you know are insurmountable, needs that you know that you could never fulfill. You know what I'm saying? If he asked you to begin to pray again for somebody that you stopped praying for months ago, sometimes even years ago, because every time you prayed for them, it just broke your heart a little bit more. And he's asking you to come back into those waters, asking you to come back into the deep, asking you to come back. But he's saying to you, don't worry, I'm here. That's where I happen to be, and I'm compelling you to come in. I want to suggest to you, if that's the case, if the Lord is speaking to your heart on that level, just step aside. Right? Step up. Step out. Step down. Step in. Step aside. Let him do what he wants to do in your life. God wants to take you into miraculous places. Our pastor was just saying that to us. We always pray before the services, and Pastor Carter always encourages us with a word from the Lord. And he was just saying, God wants to do mighty things in this generation. And he wants to do it through us. And it's simple. Where he is, that's where we need to be. We talked about this. Remember, we talked last time we spoke on Tuesday. It's not about us being Superman. It's just about going where Jesus is. Now, there's some people in this room who God is calling into dangerous waters. And you know what I'm talking about, because God is speaking it to your heart. I don't have to tell you what it is. You already know what it is. He's calling me into dangerous waters. He's asking me to begin to pray for people that I haven't really allowed myself to think about for a long time. Because when I do, it hurts. But he happens to be there. That's where he is right now. He wants to win their souls. He wants to save their lives. And he wants me to be a part of it. And the Lord is saying the same to many people in this room right now. He's asking you to pray for people that you haven't allowed yourself to think very deeply about for a long time. And some, he's asking to go into ministries that sometimes you have to come down in order to go into. He's asking you to give of yourself in a way that causes, if you will, spiritual danger. Where you actually, sometimes some of the most dangerous thing is you and I actually get to see who we are as we give ourselves in ministry. And sometimes that's the most dangerous thing of all. Sometimes it's the thing that we fear the most. That if I start to give myself in this ministry or that ministry, I might find out that there are things about me that God still needs to change. But however we look at it, I know that God, at this stage in history, is in a dangerous place. And he's calling you to join him. I want to pray with you tonight. And I want to believe God with you tonight. There are people that are sitting in this room. You should be involved in ministry, and you're not. And it's not because you believe that the ministry is beneath you. You believe that you're not good enough to serve. Pastor Carter was telling us just the other day that that's not the way we ought to think. God can use you. And God will use you. Some of you that should be praying for friends and family, husbands, wives, children. God can use you. God will use you. The time for business as usual is over. That's what Pastor Carter was reminding us on Sunday morning. It's over. Now it's time for us to position ourselves in dangerous places where Jesus is, so that we can be used of God to make a difference in this generation. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you. I never want to talk longer than the Lord does. I know God is saying things to your heart that I can never say. God is speaking into depths that I don't know about. There's people in this room, you know that God is moving you into a dangerous place, but at the same time, into the safest place conceivable. That is, by his side. He's asking you to pray again, believe again, to reach out again, to give again, to care on another level now, to come out to where he is, in dangerous places, so that we can be useful in God's hands, to save somebody. If God is speaking to you tonight, we have some time. We'll wait for you in the balcony, ground floor. Come to the front of the auditorium. We'll pray together. Believe in God for great things. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The safest place in the world is where Jesus is. No matter how dangerous the place he happens to be at his side, that's where it's at. You can weep on his bosom, you know that, as you begin to pray and believe and you begin to reach out and you begin to give and you begin to go, and it gets hard sometimes. You can weep on his bosom, you know. You're there with him. And he, at any time, can speak a word. Speak a word of peace. As he did in those days. Peace. Hallelujah. Jesus, what a wonderful Savior you are. We love you. And we want to be where you are. And we know, Lord, even as our pastor has spoken to us so many times, and as the word of the Lord has reminded us over and over again, that you are at the right hand of the needy. You're where the poor is. You're where the need is. You're where the broken is. You're where the lost is. And Lord, if that's where you are, then that's where we are. We want to be with you. We're only asking you, compel us to come to you. Make us come to you. Draw us to you. With the cords of love, make us come to you. Speak to us the same thing you spoke to Peter. Just a word. Come. Because we know that no matter how dangerous the place you are, no matter how dangerous emotionally or psychologically or spiritually or even physically, no matter how dangerous the place you are, it's the safest place in the world. We want to be by your side. We thank you for the privilege of calling us, the privilege of allowing us to come to you, the privilege of knowing that we have a purpose in this generation, that we can make a difference in this world, that your kingdom has come, that your will is being done, that you've allowed a certain amount of violence. Your scripture says that you've suffered a certain amount of violence. You've allowed a certain amount of violence to come against your kingdom, but now, Lord, so the violent take it by force. The violent, the spiritually violent, the ones who are choosing to fight this fight, Lord, are taking it by force, taking it back. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you spoke a simple word to John and said, look, you see what I'm doing. I'm healing. I'm opening the eyes of the blind. I'm healing. I'm opening the ears of the deaf. I'm healing. I'm giving strength to the paralyzed. I'm healing. I'm giving voice to the mute. I'm healing. You said that the least in your kingdom, the halt, the blind, the blind, the lame, Lord, you said the least in your kingdom is greater than the greatest of the old covenant prophets. Lord, in other words, you're saying us, the weak, the feeble, the lame, the blind, the halt, the maimed, are being used to save, to heal, to deliver, to free. Use us tonight, oh Jesus, wherever you are, that's where we want to be. Would you lay your hand upon each heart, oh God, and just whisper into each ear what you would have us to do. If you want us to serve in some capacity in this church, to apply to some ministry, to give to the needy, to send missionaries, to go, whatever you would have us to do, would you whisper it in our ear, in our hearts? Because we want to move into dangerous territory, if that's where you happen to be. And we thank you for this, oh Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of going, for the privilege of giving, for the privilege of praying, for the privilege of sharing. Thank you. We do love you so much. We ask that your name be glorified in us. We come against every lie of the devil that would say that we can't serve, that we have no thing to offer or to give. We come against that lie. We are qualified because we are the weak. We are the feeble. We are the needy. We are the blind. We are the lame. But we have been healed, and we have been given the grace to heal. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I just appreciate so much the response to that word tonight for those of us who are making the first step and getting up. You know, that's what the kingdom of God has always been about. The call is always there. But many are called, but there's not that many that respond. But thank God tonight. We go in our frailty, we go in our weakness, but we go. That's really the issue. We go. Father, thank you, Lord, for this sweet word this evening, Lord. Thank you that it was like an alabaster box of ointment poured on your feet. And Lord, you speak to each of us and tell us what you want us to do. And call us to where you are and to where we need to be. And give us the grace to go there and to believe you, Lord, that our lives will bear great fruit for your glory. And Father, we thank you. Thank you so much tonight. Lord, your kingdom has advanced in our hearts, and for this we give great thanks. And Lord, we're filled with great joy. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.